Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Philadelphia Sports Nation. I'm your host, Julian Bry the King, and today I'm joined by Vance Bonsall to talk about Eagles football. The Eagles season is close to being underway, so I'm here with Vance. What's going on, Vance?
How you doing, Julian?
How's it going, man? We got a lot to talk about in relation to the Philadelphia Eagles. Like I said, Eagles football is finally back with the Indianapolis Colts going up against the Philadelphia Eagles this coming Sunday. So we'll talk about that, Chip Kelly, and much more. As you can call into the show today by dialing 347-215-6966. Once again, the number to the show is 347-215-6966. So, Vance, let me ask you, where should we begin? Because so much has been going on with the Philadelphia Eagles lately. Where should we start?
I think what's important to look at is the Brandon Boykin trade, as well as the Jacory Shepard injury. Mostly how that affects the position, because last year the secondary was pretty weak. We saw that against the divisional rivals Dallas and Washington. And this year, if the defense, the secondary isn't any better, we're going to get exposed. And probably it's going to cost us some big games if we don't perform well in that area.
Yeah, so you just brought up Brandon Boykin. Brandon Boykin was traded from the Philadelphia Eagles to the Pittsburgh Steelers for a fifth-round draft pick. I was quite surprised that Brandon Boykin was traded out of all players. Boykin was certainly a valuable asset for a couple of years while in Philadelphia. He had that remarkable rookie season a couple of years back with five interceptions. Played well in nickel formations, but after a couple years of Chip decided to let go Boykin. I was quite surprised that Boykin, out of all players, was actually traded, because we've been hearing Kendricks would get traded. We've been hearing Mathis would get traded, Barkley would get traded, and just some other guys to name in particular, but Boykin particularly was traded to the Pittsburgh Steelers. I'm sure the Steelers got a nice asset in Boykin now. The Steelers are definitely loading up on some young talent in their defensive secondary. So certainly got a nice young talent in Boykin to add on with Shazier, Jarvis Jones. If Jones can have finally a breakout season, and a couple other guys. So Steelers got back a nice player. Boykin was pretty much a steal for us when we grabbed him in the fifth round a couple years back. Boykin was certainly one of the brighter personalities in the Eagles locker room. I sort of felt all along that Boykin suited in, fit right into Chip Kelly's philosophy, culture, but as it turned out, it just happened to be one of Andy's guys again, out the door, Brandon Boykin. Brandon then had some comments directly at Chip Kelly, that Chip was quote-unquote uncomfortable with the culture. Some of the culture. So some of the guys like, or former players like LeSean McCoy, DeSean Jackson, just to name a few. And Boykin, out of all players, decided to come out. And actually, how this transpired was via text. Boykin had sent Derek Dunn of CSN Philly text talking directly about Chip Kelly. Said, "Hey, Dunn, you just leak this out in the media. I don't really care. These are just some of my open opinions directly at Chip Kelly." So Chip has certainly faced a lot of criticism, but this comment doesn't really sit well with me. And it just happened to stir up all this drama and controversy again with Chip Kelly. Unnecessary, could I add, controversy and drama as the Eagles are preparing for their first preseason game, preparing for the actual regular season. Just some of it unnecessary. Some of it, for example, Stephen A. Smith. You know, Stephen A. Smith has been very vocal about Chip Kelly, and my God, Stephen A. out of all people wants to call Chip Kelly racist immediately with no direct evidence, wants to go based off hasty generalizations and call Chip Kelly out as a bigot. And that just doesn't sit well with me and many other Eagle fans. I believe many other Eagle fans can say that Chip Kelly has always been a nice guy, especially in the community, has helped out in the community and gone along just well with African-American players. Just a coincidence for someone like Stephen A. Smith to say, or idiotic for Stephen A. Smith to say, "Hey, Chip Kelly is going to say Chip Kelly is a big, I'm just going to say the Knicks will win a championship next year." That's just Stephen A., okay? But for him to say Chip Kelly is racist, it's just blown out of proportion. Chip Kelly, okay, I mean, we can dive into the quote here a little bit, find out exactly what Brandon Boykin meant, but, and this is what I'm going based off that Brandon Boykin essentially meant Chip is just not the most open guy. He's not the most open guy. And then we had two anonymous Eagle players tell Bleacher Report as of yesterday that Chip is just not one of those type of players who's personable, who's like Andy Reid. Andy Reid was more personal with the guys, more open with the guys about his personal life and stuff. Chip Kelly's just not one of those type of guys. We know that. He even has kept his relationship status private. He's kept his ex-wife private. He's kept all of his personal life private. And that's simply because he's a business-driven guy. He's essentially in the National Football League to win a Super Bowl, to get down to business. He looks at the Eagles locker room as a business. You could say, okay, you know, Chip's definitely inside, however, a generous guy. When he in reality opens up, he's quite a generous guy. And so it's just a matter, and you know, some people like to draw to the conclusion instantly, but I'd say it's just based off, and I'd say it's actually based off that Chip is just not an open guy, period. He's just not an open guy. You know? A player like Boykin may think he's uncomfortable, but no, he really, okay, he's not uncomfortable. Maybe he's uncomfortable to a degree if you include players like DeSean Jackson, okay? If you include a player like DeSean Jackson who lacks work ethic, that's a different story. That's a different story. But when you think about Chip Kelly in terms of a winning culture, okay, there's nothing uncomfortable with that. Chip's a business-driven guy set on hopefully bringing a Super Bowl to Philadelphia someday.
Right.
Hopefully.
But, I want to just add that I think the business aspect that you're speaking about, I think that's most evident actually in this trade because I think a lot of people have missed the fact that Boykin's contract is up after this season. And it's pretty much a consensus that he's not going to sign here because he won't have a chance to start. It's been shown that, you know, the coaching staff won't give him a chance on the outside. So I'm sure Kelly figured, you know, he's not going to stay after the season. Why don't I have all this cornerback depth after the draft and after free agency. Why don't I trade Boykin for some sort of asset I can use so I don't lose him for nothing, and then I can rely on the depth I have to move forward.
Yeah, exactly. And some people, especially the national media, is getting quite confused by the fact that Chip is making certain moves based off salary cap, based off assets in return. Okay, we got back a draft pick in return for Brandon Boykin, but looking back at the offseason, then we've also compiled a bunch of assets like DeMarco Murray, Kiko Alonso. I mean, do I have to go further? We compiled a bunch of assets all because we got rid of one guy and one guy only, LeSean McCoy. And it's still quite sad that it's quite sad how the Eagles have had handled the LeSean McCoy situation, but there comes a point in time that us Eagle fans just have to move forward. LeSean McCoy has to move forward. But I was telling my friend this the other day, LeSean McCoy will always have, in his heart, grew up in Pennsylvania. He pretty much grew up as an Eagles fan, okay? I mean, who's not to say that LeSean McCoy won't ever lose out on the passion he has for the city of Philadelphia? Really. He may despise Chip Kelly for the rest of his life. He may just want to beat the Eagles on any given day. But you know what? And look. LeSean McCoy may never forgive the Philadelphia Eagles organization, entire Eagles organization, but they'll still always have a place/heart in Philadelphia. Now, he devoted some of his heart and career into Philadelphia. So LeSean will always have a place in heart in Philadelphia, but don't forget too, LeSean McCoy is the Eagles' all-time leading rusher, will always be the leading all-time rusher unless someone decides to ever break it, is the all-time leading rusher and will eventually someday wind up in the Eagles Hall of Fame. We're seeing, and not many people are talking about this right now, Vansh, but Brian Westbrook is getting set to be inducted into the Eagles Hall of Fame. That's quite an accomplishment for a player I looked up to in the early part of my life. I grew up on Brian Westbrook, and who's not to say that Brian Westbrook is also one of the all-time Eagle greats, one of the best Eagle running backs ever. And so Westbrook and McCoy will always be remembered as some of the all-time greats in Philadelphia Eagles history, and most importantly, one of the best, if not two, of the best running backs in Eagles history. Wilbert Montgomery is certainly up there, but those names just come to mind instantly at the top of Eagles' all-time best running backs.
Yeah, and I think that, I mean, you know, as far as right now, the Eagles have plenty of options at running back. So I think it's time to put this whole thing behind and, you know, get to the actual football here, because as far as the national media goes, they can hang up on this racism, you know, topic for however long they want. But what Kelly's doing here from a football standpoint is really remarkable. So this season, you know, having changed almost everything on the team, it's like he's pretty much built a new franchise. So I think it's time to delve into that and see, you know, how far this team can go with the without McCoy, without Jackson, without Boykin.
Yeah, exactly. It's the preseason now, Vansh, and the national media just. I'm not saying the national media has to put it behind them, because, hey, they have the freedom of speech. They can say what they want. They can put whatever they want on the news. But I'm just saying, generally, everyone should just look ahead towards the preseason. Chip Kelly has made his moves in the offseason. We've talked about those moves past offseason. Now it's the preseason. Now it's time to talk about the preseason. So, Vansh, you brought up that Ja'Cory Shepherd tore his ACL recently. Huge loss considering that the Eagles trade away Boykin.
I mean,
and now need to find a new nickel quarterback. There's speculation going around. We'll see Eric Rowe, Nolan Carroll, or possibly Randall Evans, another draft pick from the Eagles this past year. We may see one of them wind up as the new Eagles nickel cornerback. But with Shepherd gone, Vansh, what do you see happening? I mean, we've watched some of, or we've even kept up with what's going on in training camp so far. What can you foresee ahead, even as far as competition is concerned in the Eagles secondary?
So, first of all, the local media seems to be latching onto the fact that Shepherd is a big loss. I mean, however, you know, let's face it, he's a sixth-round draft pick. I mean, people at camp, I'm sure, saw him play very well, but you know, until you prove it on the field, I don't know if you can say a sixth-round pick is a big loss, especially considering the Eagles still have so much depth there, as you just spoke about with Evans and Rowe. Jalen Watkins has improved quite a bit as well. Kelly spoke recently about giving him a chance as a nickel corner, when basically he was kind of, last year, he was kind of a fifth cornerback at most. I think that in the end, Eric Rowe is going to be the man he'll either start or play slot, and then Nolan Carroll will do the opposite. So basically the top three corners are going to be Maxwell, Carroll, and Rowe. We'll see where everything goes from there. That's my opinion.
Yeah, I was just typing the number on Twitter. By the way, you guys can call in by dialing 347-215-6966. Once again, 347-215-6966. Here talking Eagles preseason. Not all the drama controversy, but the Eagles preseason. I heard what you said, Vansh, but I'm not too sure. Because, you see, some of the coaches are pretty much implicating that Eric Rowe will likely be a backup for the start of the season, at least. But I think there should come a point in time Eric Rowe starts along with Byron Maxwell on the outside, and we see Nolan Carroll at nickel, like, or even Walter Thurman. We're hearing so much rave reviews right now in training camp pertaining to Nolan Carroll, but worst comes to worst, if he ever suffers an injury, if he tends to struggle early on throughout the preseason, then I'd say maybe the Eagles' backup plan is Walter Thurman, because even though I'd like to see Nolan Carroll start somehow, some way, either on the outside or inside, I think Walter Thurman is the Eagles' backup plan. Now, some people are bringing up Randall Evans, but I'm not even sure if Randall Evans is ready to step in the slot just yet. So I'd say with Walter Thurman's wealth of experience, yeah, he's been adjusting to the backfield as of late, adjusting as a safety as of late, but with his wealth of experience in the slot, something has to give. The Eagles may decide to put Walter Thurman in the slot certain times they call for nickel formation. So it's quite disappointing that Ja'Cory Shepherd is out for the season. Not only is Ja'Cory Shepherd out for the season, but so is Travis Long. We talked about this even before Eagles training camp started, Vance, but it's just a matter of the Eagles staying healthy. The Eagles have to stay healthy. But we can't forget, however, that they also have arguably the best depth in the entire league. They arguably have the best roster depth in the entire league, just by talking about, or just from linebackers to defensive line to quarterback. The Eagles have a lot of depth, but yet the secondary concerns you now, right? Because we dealt with so much controversy last year as it related to the Eagles secondary, but that was all because of Kerry Williams, Patrick Chung, Kerry Williams and Bradley Fletcher. We got rid of those guys, but yet now we're just hoping the Eagles secondary can stay healthy and look a whole lot better than last year. And we don't want to go down this alley again, do we? We don't want to suffer with the consequences of a lackadaisical secondary again. Chip Kelly made some moves to bolster the secondary. Just, you know, secondary was our most primary concern in the off season, and so. And so despite addressing the need, the concern, there comes more concern now with Ja'Cory Shepherd gone, Bram Boykin gone, of one of these guys, Nolan Carroll, Byron Maxwell, or Eric Rowe stepping up. I guess it's going to be quite a big year for Eric Rowe already, because expectations are high this secondary. His expectations are high on the secondary. Everyone's talking about the Eagles' offensive line, but man, what can be worse is the secondary. The secondary looking a whole lot worse than last year. Jordan Matthews brought up the other day that Byron Maxwell was arguably the best corner he went up against last year in his rookie season. And even throughout training camp, Byron Maxwell has been praised by other Eagle teammates. But yet, it's also a big year for Byron Maxwell. All of us are just hoping that the Eagles' new additions to their secondary pan out and bring together a great defense. Because trust me, I tell you, the Eagles can have such a wonderful year on defense. It's just really a matter of the Eagles' secondary staying healthy. We could say, because you know there's tiers to the depth the Eagles to which the Eagles have, but can make the case, okay, well, the Eagles have Matt Tobin, they have Moffitt, they have Gardner, they have these guys to fill in just in case Lane Johnson goes down or Jason Kelce goes down, unfortunately. But you also, you know, like once again, it goes back to tiers. The Eagles have Mark Sanchez to back up Sam Bradford. But within the case of the Eagles secondary, like who else do the Eagles really have besides Nolan Carroll, Eric Rowe, Byron Maxwell? I'm not once again quite sure about Randall Evans, but one name I did not mention was Jalen Watkins. Jalen Watkins, okay, second year accustomed to the Eagles' defensive system. Can he possibly have a breakout year? Who knows? Who knows? But I think there are just some questions and concerns in the Eagles' secondary.
Yeah, and I think that as the preseason goes along, those will sort themselves out to a degree. I'm not sure how much time we have, but I wanted to address the offense because there are a lot more questions there than on defense, in my opinion, starting with the line. You mentioned the depth we have. I know that there's, you know, some of these backups have played significant minutes last year, played significant games, and started quite a few games because of injury. But, you know, we saw at the end of last year, you know, we had some continuity on the line the last month and a half of the season or so. You know, the line stayed together. Problem was that the line just didn't play well. You know, if you don't have good linemen, it doesn't matter how long they played together. And I hope that this season, whether these guys prove to fill the voids of Harriman's and Mathis, or whether, you know, Kelly finds a way to mask some of the weaknesses there, that's going to be something to keep an eye out for, at least in the preseason. Maybe not, but if not, then early in the regular season.
Yeah. Oh, let me ask you, Vance, but would you say the offensive line is the most important position to keep an eye out for as we head into the first week of preseason?
Well, I don't know how much, you know, blitz-wise and things like that the defenses are going to show. Also, don't know how long the main pass rushers are going to play. But I think that if there starts to be a lot of penetration in the backfield, basically they can show that there's weakness, but there's not really going to be anything that can say, okay, these guys are going to be fine. So if we see some problems there, it's definitely going to be concerning. Otherwise, if they look okay, we got to wait till the regular season to see, you know, if they're going to stay together, especially this year, where, I mean, you have Sam Bradford, who maybe is a bit more mobile than Nick Foles, but all the injury concerns around him, you know, not going to do him any good to have a weak offensive line. And with the problem with that is also the running game can't get going without someone to create holes in space. So if the line struggles, the whole offense could just sputter. And you could see what happened, you know, towards the end of last year where against Seattle we couldn't score and the Eagles really couldn't score. Defense held them, the Seahawks are down 21 points and the Eagles really couldn't muster up anything. We saw that even in other games. You know, the Redskins game, the offense struggled a little bit. But I think that the line is going to be the key for this offense.
Yeah, definitely. It's a tough argument to make whether the offensive line is more of a problem, whether the secondary is now more a problem. It's really hard because I think Eagle fans have sort of exaggerated the offensive line a bit. I'd say yeah, it's quite a loss to see Mathis go, but we gotta say to ourselves, look, we have Lane Johnson, who could have arguably his best year this coming season. Speaking of Lane Johnson, I think he's really the key to the Eagles' offensive line. The Eagles' offensive line is going to exceed expectations. It's going to be all because of Lane Johnson. Lane Johnson missed out certain parts of last season, but this season will be key for not only Lane but the Eagles' offensive line to exceed expectations. But I look at Jason Kelce, Jason Peters as two other guys. Eventually, actually, I'm getting your messages here. I'm gonna stick on the air for probably about 30 more minutes. So, I mean, if you gotta run, I'll
All right,
talk to you
sounds
later, man.
good. Good talking to you, Julian.
All right, yeah, definitely. Yeah. So, Vance, just how'd it go? But again, if you want to call in, the number to the show is 347-215-6966. Once again, 347-215-6966. But yeah, back to the offensive line. The Eagles' offensive line isn't so bad as everyone is exaggerating, but yet if but Jason Peters were to go down, Jason Kelce were to go down, Lane Johnson were to go down, something has to give about what Gardner, Barber, Tobin, any of these guys can do in replacement of Lane Johnson, Jason Kelce, or Jason Peters. So it's tough to make the argument between offensive line and secondary, but I definitely say, yeah, looking from the offensive side of the ball, offensive line sticks out as a main concern. Then looking from the defensive side of the ball, the secondary sticks out as a main concern. So it's just a matter of health. It's a matter of health, and it's also a matter of health for Sam Bradford. It's actually funny that yesterday I caught what Sam Bradford said in response to Eagle fans petitioning for the Pope to pray his knees don't suffer more than they have, but I found it quite funny when I just listened to this response of Sam Bradford yesterday. I thought it was really funny that, I mean, it's not funny because, hey, we really don't want Bradford to go down, but yet, it was quite funny to Bradford that, fans are actually petitioning for the Pope to pray that something worse doesn't happen to Sam Bradford. I mean, worse can be Matt Barkley. Matt Barkley, and I mean that's another storyline to keep an eye out for in training camp. But Barkley isn't quite solidified. Some fans, like myself, aren't quite sure if he's going to stick around after this preseason. Chances are Tim Tebow might make the roster over Matt Barkley, but It's all wait and see. It's all wait and see. I just, you know, we can't all wait for the first preseason game. We can't all wait for the first preseason game. I mean, I can't go without talking much else besides the Eagles' upcoming preseason matchup between the Indianapolis Colts. The Colts are going to play the Philadelphia Eagles at Lincoln Financial Field this coming Sunday, August 16th at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The Eagles will eventually allow Bradford some time on the field, Sanchez some time on the field, Tebow some time on the field. That'll be huge. I mean, really, is there going to be any bigger second halves in this year's preseason besides seeing Tim Tebow? So it's gonna be interesting how things pan out. But what did I say? We need to watch out for this coming Sunday against the Indianapolis Colts. I'd say keep an eye out for how Bradford does, essentially, how his throwing motion looks, how his coordination from lower body up performs. So that'll be something to keep an eye out for. We've been seeing Bradford participate in training camp now, but in game action, it's going to be critical how Bradford does, even as far how far as his throwing mechanics go. So it'll be quite interesting. It'll be quite interesting to see Bradford, to see DeMarco Murray. I'm more excited to see DeMarco Murray in Eagles uniform soon. All these guys. Eagles preseason starts this coming Sunday, so everyone get ready. Everyone get ready. It's going to be quite a ride this year. Quite a ride. Can't predict just yet. Maybe we'll get my prediction later on throughout our next coming editions of Philadelphia Sports Nation podcast. But not sure where this team will go just yet. My friend's actually predicting them to go to the Super Bowl. But I'd be quite satisfied. I'd be quite satisfied if the Eagles could finish 9-7. Well, some fans are saying the Eagles need to win more in 10 games. But after such a big off season, I wouldn't expect more than 10 wins, really. Just so many changes at once really doesn't quite bode well. Likely odds are the Eagles finish 9-7 and possibly win a playoff game, possibly squeeze into the playoffs and win a playoff game. That'd be a huge goal. The Eagles have yet to win a playoff game with Chip Kelly, so it'd definitely be nice if the Eagles could win at least one playoff game. But other than that, it's just a matter of waiting and seeing how these guys perform in preseason and staying on soon. So that about does it for the Philadelphia Sports Nation podcast. You can check out Philadelphia Sports Nation online at Philadelphia or PHLSportsNation.com. You can also find Philadelphia Sports Nation on Twitter at PHL Sports Nation. You can find me on Twitter at JBravoSK. But guys, I hope you enjoy the first Eagles preseason game this coming Sunday. I'll be watching, so go Eagles. And until then, I'll talk to you soon. I'll probably be back on the air, I'd say, next Monday, maybe as the first preseason game concludes. So we'll have a lot more to talk about as the Eagles get set to play the Indianapolis Colts week one of the preseason. So enjoy the Eagles against the Colts. Peace out.